The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
The bodybuilding world will never be the same.
Get ready for MD Radio with your hosts, Sean Ray and Flex Wheeler. We'll take you inside the world of health and fitness with a focus on bodybuilding. Now, here are your hosts, Sean and Flex.
Welcome to another episode of MD Radio, episode number 35, here on Monday, October the 19th. I'm Sean Ray.
And I'm Flex Wheeler. You guys are going to have to excuse me. I'm doing a recording here in a gym here at 24 Hour Fitness where I train.
Flex, what are you doing in the gym?
I can't get my out of here in time.
You trying to make a comeback?
Me? Yeah. You know we're supposed to be doing that 202 thing, man. I'm going to be 202.
You're never going to see 202. You're going to see 202 when Lee Priest sees it, which will be in the afterlife.
Well, anyways, we got a bang-up show here, son. Who's our guest?
Well, you know, last week we intimated that six-time Ms. Olympia champion, Iris Kyle, who will be calling in shortly, was the subject of a lot of talk on the internet and on the forums about whether or not she was good for bodybuilding. I'm actually stunned and amazed that you would ask that question after the ladies won six times, only two shy of Linda Murray, who's got the official record for eight victories. And Iris is actually tied right now with Corey Everson for six. And they're asking now, at this late stage of the game, is Iris Kyle bad for bodybuilding? I mean, does that stun you?
It definitely does. Actually, I mean, I find it offensive. I had the honor of doing a interview with Iris where we talked about her life and her growing up and how rough it was for her as an athlete and to try to fit in and everything like that. So it seems like she's found her home. You know, what's even more appalling for me, Sean, is she was actually more muscular before when she first started winning her Miss Olympia, and they never had a problem with it about it then. Nobody never made a statement about it. So, like you said, this later in the game, when she's actually toned down her physique, she's a lot more leaner, but she's muscular-wise, she doesn't carry the pound as I don't think she did before. She can let us know that when she gets on the air, but definitely, bro, like I said, last week when we were doing our other show, it's called women's bodybuilding, and until it changes, that's what it's all about. It's not women's figure or a woman's swimsuit. Is about bodybuilding, about building muscles. And that's what she does better than any other female on the planet.
Yeah. Do you think she's being held a victim of being compared to one of the more feminine Ms. Olympias in Corey Everson, not to mention the fact that Linda Murray stood between Iris's reign and Corey Everson's reign? I mean, Iris clearly is not the biggest bodybuilder. She's not even the most muscular bodybuilder, but yet here she is. She, you know, busts her butt. She wins six, and, you know, people are still having an issue with the musculature of who is arguably setting the example for women's bodybuilding. She's not the biggest.
No, definitely. You know what? I would argue, I bet it's a way that we can find out. Too bad I didn't do my research on that. But I'm sure there's women that she's defeated that outweighs her anywhere from 5 to 10 pounds. So obviously she's not the most muscular or biggest competitor on stage. So I just think it's insult to injury. The woman is pure. She's a beautiful person. She's not a loudmouth or roguish or anything like that. She represents the sport. She speaks very highly of the sport. So let's get her on and see, you know, what her feelings is about this.
Well, before she comes on, we were both there at the Olympia. We saw her. She was actually being out-muscled, outsized by Heather Armbrust, who was one of the pre-contest favorites to unseat Iris Kyle based on her musculature. I think she was a little bottom-heavy. Her legs were a little bit bigger than the upper body, and she was a little bit softer than Iris. I think Iris had the right combination of the two to defend her title. But arguably, Yoksani Orokin is bigger than Iris Kyle. So are we being too hard on the ladies in terms of, well, if they get too big, if they get bigger and they come in softer, it's more feminine? Or if they, like Iris, toned it down and got more grainy, more defined, she showed so much more muscle that it gives that Ronnie Coleman-like illusion of being too big for a woman.
Right. You know what? I do agree that there is a size that a female bodybuilder could achieve where it's adverse effect, meaning that she's so muscular and carries so much tonnage of muscle that is not a good look. But I don't think Iris is there whatsoever at all. And I'm one to be very critical on how much a female bodybuilder has muscle on her. But like I said before, you know, she was heavier and I think more muscular when she competed before. And at that time, I thought it was borderline the amount of muscle that she used to bring on stage. But like I said, she's really toned that down. She's brought a more feminine look to it. But like I think what you hit on, Sean, is that the point is she's leaned herself out and probably her lean muscle mass is greater even though she's smaller. So it gives out that illusion with all that great detail and definition that she has.
Well, the one thing I sat with 8-time Miss Olympia, Linda Murray, and Linda was of the opinion that she was just too much. Her legs were too big. She was carrying too much size. She actually was going to do not as much help to women's bodybuilding had they chose Heather Armbrust. And this is coming from Linda Murray. I mean, we're all entitled to our opinions. But do you think there was that a jab at Iris Kyle? Because the judges spoke solidly and unanimously that it was Iris's to win. But yet here we were with Linda Murray stating that Iris had pushed the envelope a little bit too far.
You know, I love Linda with all her heart. She represented a sport like no other woman bodybuilder has. But I'm just curious, is that, you know, tainted a little bit with her personal opinion and not just looking at the sport for purely what it is. Obviously, I'm curious to what Linda's weight was and if it was her competing at this day and time, would she be offended that someone said that she was too muscular to win the Miss Olympia? Because I think when you're in the heat of the moment of competing, that's definitely not on your mind. So, you know, Linda's very much removed from it. I know myself being removed from it so much when I look at even the guys, I'm thinking, oh, my God, that's unreal. But when I was there, I wanted to achieve that look that someone said, oh, my God, that's unreal. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
Maybe it's that she's so far removed from it that it's kind of different. I have to admit, and I wonder, do you, you know, the same, Sean, when you look at the guys now, you think, oh, good grief, you know, look at the size of that guy. But when we were there, that's kind of what we are trying to achieve, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, let's find out from the 6-time Miss Olympia champion, the reigning and defending champion. She also has, I believe, she'll correct me if I'm wrong, I believe 4 Miss International titles to her credit as well. Miss Iris Kyle, welcome to MD Radio, episode 35.
Hi, Sean. Thanks for having me.
Iris, you were on not too long ago with Flex and myself, and we briefly mentioned about the state of affairs in women's bodybuilding. I'm not sure if you noticed on the muscular development sites right now, you are a hot topic of debate in terms of the direction of women's bodybuilding. You won this year's contest unanimously, and they posed the question on the forums, is Iris Kyle bad for women's bodybuilding? And what they weren't talking about your character. The question is, as a bodybuilding fan, I feel Iris is too big and not feminine enough to be Miss Olympia. What would your reaction be to that as a female representative? 6 times you are the best in the world, and someone says that you're too big and you're not feminine enough.
Well, I'm very shocked. I haven't actually looked at the form at all. Been quite busy, so I haven't heard that from neither my fans or anyone else in general.
Well,
so yeah, I'm shocked, for
well,
one.
Arguably, there are women bigger. I sat with Linda Murray, 8-time Miss Olympia, and while the prejudging was going on, she seemed to be favoring Heather Armbrust in terms of overall presentation, I guess, the overall representation of women's bodybuilding. She was a little bit softer than you, which told me she was a little bit out of shape. She was a little bottom heavy, which told me she wasn't symmetrical as you. But yet Linda seemed to be favoring Heather in terms of looking at you as if you've pushed the envelope a little too far, a little Ronnie Coleman-like. Was that a jab at you, or is she disconnected with where we are as in women's bodybuilding?
I'll take it to... You have to put Linda in a position where she's 8-time Miss Olympia, so she's a little bit threatened. I'm right there nipping at her butt, so you will expect that. And then on the other hand, I would say that she's been out of the loop for a long time, so she's probably taking it as not viewing it as, hey, you want the best of all world up on top of the stage, because you want a Miss Olympian to be untouchable. You don't want any John, Joe, or Jack can actually achieve what I have achieved. So I take it from both angles. She's a little bit threatened because I'm nipping at her butt, and then she's taking it to where I don't think she's viewing it as you should be the best of all, you know, so...
I would have to tend to agree with you on both accounts here. Iris, let me ask you, what is the heaviest you've ever won the Miss Olympia at?
155.
And how much were you this year? At this previous Miss Olympia?
Miss Olympia, this time I was 167.
Well, it begs the question, Flex. Do former bodybuilders make good judges? Because here you have, clearly, Iris breathing down Linda Murray's neck for this record, which I'm sure Linda is enjoying at the moment. Would a bodybuilder of her caliber be objectionable enough to give the nod? I mean, does Linda have to disconnect herself from, you know what I mean?
You know what, Sean, I held a record with the Honor Classic with 4 wins, and that is a great honor. And you know what, I've said it before, I can't wait to shake the hand of the person who breaks that record, because regardless, I try to look at it, even though also I have to take my personal feeling out of it, I have to try to look at it as if I was still there competing and remove my own personal feelings. And bottom line is, nothing stands still. Time doesn't stand still. So, I mean, are we all, any of us, Arnold, myself, anybody who holds a record, do we think we're so great that our record will stand the test of time and nobody's supposed to be better than that? And if that's the case, where did our sport go? I mean, is that a good thing? That nobody never breaks a record, that means no one never exceeded the sport and took it to a different level. Isn't that what it's supposed to all be about?
Well, what's your take on it, Iris? I mean,
I really think a record is made to be broken. I expect someone to come and supersede what I have accomplished. It would be kind of like crazy to think not that it's not going to happen. So I take my hat off to the person who does beat my record, and I would think Linda would do the same thing. I would want someone who, like, I beat Linda in 2004. I would want that person to continue to be the best.
Right.
I just maybe I beat me in 2004. I wouldn't want to see another person to be on top of the world other than the person who beat me. That says a lot about her.
I'm thinking with Linda, she might have been removed from the sport enough years that maybe that is a little bit too much in her face. She doesn't realize how muscular she was.
Right,
in the throes of her reign. But we've got 6,000 people that have viewed the thread. Is Iris Kyle bad for women's bodybuilding? Again, not attack on the character, but an assessment of the physique. What would you do? Anything differently to your physique, or is this it? I mean, are you close to maxing out as a woman bodybuilder in terms of putting size on at 167?
Well, you know, every year I turn the page. I think I'm showing a little bit better of condition, size. And for them to say I'm a little bit too over the top, what necessarily do that mean? I don't think I'm looking manly. I think my physique is very silhouette. I have a small waist. My muscle bellies are full, and the condition is there. And I really, I guess what it is just like when Ron Coleman was continually winning, they want change. That's all what they're looking at. Other than that, I'm still going to do what I do, come in as I think is presentable. I can't please them all. I don't expect to get all the votes. But from my perspective, I have not had anyone tell me, hey, you need to stop. You look great. That's all I've been hearing. You look great. Oh, you're awesome. You're in a class by yourself. So,
well, you are in a class by yourself. How many Miss International titles have you won?
4.
And will we see you there again this coming March?
Definitely. I'll be right there.
Do you have the record right now for winning that contest?
Wow. That is great.
I think I'm tied with Yaxine. I think she has 4-2, I think she has 4.
So if you get 5, you will stand alone, even more on the classics than Flex Wheeler.
That's okay, right.
Flex,
you know what? And that'd
you.
Be a beautiful thing. That'd be a beautiful thing.
Belt,
I think
Flex.
You're the one to do it, Ira.
Thank you.
We're gonna take a commercial break, Iris. I want to bring you right back for a couple more minutes. We want to find out if Miss Olympia, A, what's going on with the prize money, and B, is it everything it's cracked up to be? We're going to take our first commercial break here at MD Radio with Iris Kyle, 6-time Miss Olympia, preparing for a run at number 5 at the Miss International Championships this March. For Flex Wheeler, I'm Sean Ray. We'll be right back after the commercial break.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in your brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number 1 internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
you're looking for the no bull supplements, Zero Limits is the brand for you. Zero Limits products represent the hierarchy of bodybuilding supplements. Zero Limits is for those who dare to force their bodies through the torturous acts of physical challenge and display a whatever it takes to win attitude. Zero Limits goes beyond the mundane pack of Me Too products with the development of a real breakthrough and innovation to take muscle building further than it has ever gone before. Zero Limits has revolutionized testosterone enhancements with NovaTest. Experience unprecedented 10,000% increases in testosterone and watch your strength and muscle gains go through the roof. NovaTest is in a class of its own for a select group of athletes who live by the Zero Limits philosophy of never setting limits on themselves. NovaTest, fast, powerful, potent elevations in testosterone. NovaTest from Zero Limits. Order NovaTest at www.getxl.com because large isn't big enough.
Want cutting-edge products that are scientifically formulated and tested in the best laboratories in the world? VPX Sports, founded by supplement guru Jack Owok, renowned for creating the most effective and innovative supplement formulations in the industry today. Where other companies fall short, VPX has excelled by bringing the latest scientific information into the research and development laboratories at VPX and translated into products that are used by fitness enthusiasts and recreational bodybuilders all the way to the highest levels of professional athletics. VPX pushes the envelope, redefines superlative products, and delivers on its promise to produce the highest grade sports nutrition supplements in existence. For more information, go to VPXSports.com. That's VPXSports.com.
The next generation mass gainer that's infused with 12 key NO shotgun ingredients that have been proven to ignite muscle growth by increasing muscle DNA by 149% and increase bench press 1,108% and leg press by 55%. VPX's stealth is the superior muscle mass builder that is perfect to lay down slabs of mind-blowing mass. In the old school days, the weight gainer with the most calories won the mass war, but made people look and feel like trash. VPX stealth has changed the rules of rapid muscular weight gain by adding the world's most powerful nutrient partitioning agents. Agents so powerful that they were proven to alter muscle gene proteins with just 1 ounce of NO shotgun per day. If just 1 ounce of NO shotgun a day increased lean muscle mass by 5.5 pounds, imagine what 10 ounces of stealth can do. For more information, go to VPXSports.com. That's VPXSports.com.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to MD Radio with Sean and Flex. If you want to get in on the action, call Team MD now at 1-866-472-5788. Now back to MD Radio with Sean Ray and Flex Wheeler.
Hey, this is Flex Wheeler and Sean Ray with MD Radio, and we still have Miss Olympia, Iris Cowell, who just announced that she is going to be going for a fifth title at Miss International. Iris, I had the pleasure of doing a personal profile on you a while back, and in that profile, you spoke about how hard it was for you in all the different sports and, you know, even being different from the rest of your siblings and anything like that. Does this strike you as just another one of those cases where, you know, it's just hard for you to get acceptance by everybody?
Yeah, yes and no. I guess my thing is any sport that I do partake in, I just basically take myself out of the circle of what people think. Because if I try to choose to please everyone, I'm going to find myself in a whirlwind of a big spin going round and round. So I eliminate all the he say, she say, the yes, the no's, and everything, and just think positive of what I think is decent enough to win a championship.
Iris, do you think, as being the reigning champion, are you getting your just dues? I mean, the prize money disparity, we are still, prize money-wise, not where we were in 1989 or 1988 when Corey Everson won. I believe at her peak she won $50,000 for first. If I'm not mistaken, I think Linda Murray might have gotten one of those $50,000 paydays. You win your sixth Olympia, and I believe you got $28,000 for your efforts?
That's the highest I've gotten is $30,000 in either one, the Arnold or the Olympia. So it's definitely not just due. I think we should be at least anywhere from the 75% range of what the men are are taking in. Well, and, I mean, that's in everyday life, any form of business that you proceed yourself in, the men are always, you know, getting paid more, but ours is ridiculous, a joke.
But yet you're there every year, so...
I'm there every year. It's right now, Sean and Flex, it's all about how I feel about the sport. It's not even a money thing at this point. It's me accomplishing a goal. I'm looking past the money because it just seems like they're having the same repeated response. The women are not really bringing in ticket sales, and I think it's a joke. How do you really determine we're not selling tickets when I'm constantly, I get maybe like over 1,000 emails in one of my boxes, so I know the other women are having the same thing.
Well, we know bodybuilding as a sport in general is selfish on an individual level. We do what we do for ourselves first, and the fans get to enjoy some of our hard work. Do you think as Ms. Olympia you're doing everything possible to represent that title? And if you're not, do you think there's something you would like to do that you just haven't gotten around to before your run is up?
Well, it's a lot of things that I have in my foreplay that I'm going to actually do. I'm writing a book. I do a lot of charity. You know, it's not a lot in the state that I partake in, but I put my work out there, and I'm sure it's a lot more that I would like to give back to, but I can't give back if I'm not receiving, you know. The money's not there. I need the sponsorship. If I put my money out there, then where do it end? But, yes, in the long run, I'm definitely going to give back to the sport.
Okay.
Well, listen, Iris, I want to, again, on a personal level and also on behalf of MD and family and Sean Ray, want to commend you on a job well done. I mean, you fought tooth and nail to get to where you are. You deserve to be where you are. And each year you prove that you still deserve to remain where you are. So hopefully you continue knocking them down. Look forward to watching you win your fifth Miss International and be beautiful. Hopefully I'll be there to witness you tying Linda's record and then breaking it, baby. Before you're done. So best of luck to you. Keep your mind frame strong, and the way you're going, I don't see anybody stop you no time soon. So thanks for joining us on MD Radio Show, and hopefully we can have you again before the Miss International.
You definitely. Thank you, Sean. Thank you.
All right.
Flex.
It's Iris Kyle, your six-time Miss Olympia. And by the way, she did get her six titles, Flex. People were asking earlier. She did win one year where she was like the heavyweight winner, and they had the lightweight winner, which I believe was Diana Cadu or something like that. So, or Julia
right.
Bergman won the overall. That
right.
was when they kind of experimented with the lightweight and the heavyweight. But we're going to move right along with kind of, I don't want to say out with the old and in with the new, but this guy right here, he's like the next big thing, Flex. He's actually one of the guys who's never competed at the Nationals, yet he's the favorite not only to win his class, but possibly the overall. 23-year-old Seth Ferrassi. Seth, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm with you.
I want to make sure I pronounce the last name right. Is it Ferrassi or Ferrosi?
Ferrosi.
We've got to get used to that
Ferrosi.
Because that's the name we're going to be hearing in the future. You're 6 weeks out from the National Championships, light heavyweight division. How is the preparation going?
Everything's going great. I never felt better. I really can't compare this preparation to the Pittsburgh in any way, shape, or form because I've never felt better. I've never been in better shape. Just overall conditioning's better, strength's up. Hani's working wonders for me, in my opinion.
Steph, first time you worked with Hani was only just maybe a week before your show, and you were victorious in that. How has it been having this much time work under Hani's tutelage, and how well do you think you're going to profit from that?
It's night and day. I mean, whenever I started talking with him, you know, about a week before the Pittsburgh, it was just like he said, we're just going to tweak a couple things and see what we can do, just to bring you in a little bit tighter and thin your skin out a little bit. And compared to now, it's been hands-on, serious hands-on for about 16 weeks. So it's a completely different story. You know, started my cardio earlier. My food is still very high. My cardio and the intensity of my training's through the roof. So, I think it's going to be a showing for me. I mean, we still got 6 weeks of work left. I just want to continue to get better. I mean, there's going to be a ridiculous number of phenomenal competitors at this show. I mean, these are guys that I've been looking at for the past couple of years, saying, "Wow, these are." They're tremendous bodybuilders, and now I'm going to be competing against them.
Well, there's a few that you are going to be having to run right in, headstrong into. Brandon Ray, who was a two-time first runner-up at the light heavyweight divisions at the USA's. You've got the USA champion, Tamer El Gundy, who almost nabbed a pro card, lost out to Gregoria Toyin and Daryl G there at the USA Championships.
What about this guy? Do you think about these guys like Darren Glenn won the junior USAs? Do you think about those guys coming in, or are you just focused on being a better bodybuilder than you were?
I'd say a little bit of both. I mean, ultimately, I can only worry about myself because, that's what you do as a bodybuilder. You just try to make improvements every time you compete and just try to strive forward. But, I mean, to say that I don't think about those guys, I'd be lying because, I mean, these guys have made an impact on my life years ago. You know, whenever I first saw Brandon Ray, I said, wow, that's a light heavyweight. And now I'm going to be competing against him, and it's going to be a great experience either way. I mean, I'm just, I'm not training for second place. I really I'm pushing myself to win.
Well, Seth, how, you're 23?
24.
24 years old. Well, it's not impossible, speaking from experience. I was 21 day after my 22nd birthday. One month after my 22nd birthday, I won that show on my first try. I'm going to pass the baton to you, my friend. Bring it home to Team MD on November the 20th out there in Florida.
Oh, I'm. That's what I'm shooting for. I'm very excited. Thank you.
All right, big Seth Ferocious. Ferocious.
Seth, so we can call him Ferocious Ferocious, right?
That's been my nickname for a while, but I guess it just clicks with everybody.
Okay, man. Well, hey, we'll catch you in Fort Lauderdale, bro. You're the man.
Thank you very much. I appreciate everything.
All right, thanks for calling in.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, that's Ferocious Flex. When you talk about potential, this guy seems to have it in spades.
Definitely, bro. It's going to be very interesting to see how well he does match up against those guys. Definitely, you know, Hani has a great track record. He definitely knows what he's doing. So, you know, with this much time working with Hani after just 1 week of being with him, it's going to be very interesting to see what type of condition and shape he brings into it.
Well, what does he have to do? Tell me what specifically does he got to do?
You know what? I would just say add a little bit more size and refine himself. Like you said, bringing in a little bit more thin skin and try to lean himself, his body up. He came in superior condition when he competed there at the Pittsburgh show and won that show. But it's bottom line is the level of condition and competitors he's going to be going up against versus the Pittsburgh. I mean, these guys are pro ready or should have already turned pro. So it's going to be interesting to see how he measures up to that type of caliber of competitors.
Well, right on. Let's switch gears, Flex. He's going to have his work cut out. That's going to be one of the deeper light heavyweight divisions, and of course, there's going to have some other guys in the other classes as well. But right now, I got my money on Big Seth and Brandon Ray posing down. Some guys won't like that, but I think it's going to be a nice, interesting match between those two guys. We want to bring on right now one of our major sponsors throughout the year at MD. Sponsors a lot of our online stuff. Sponsors Kai Green and Victor Martinez. Gerard Dente, a bodybuilder in his own right, now supplement owner, sponsor of all of a lot of the MD shows. He'll be coming on here shortly, Flex. What do you think about the transition some of these guys like himself and Gaspari and Labrada? What do you think? I mean, it's very impressive how those guys segue off the stage and then come into the bodybuilding and are able to give back.
You're right. It's very impressive the way they were able to reinvent themselves and stay in this sport that they put so much on. Gerard, Rich Gaspari, and also Lee Labrada, just what they've done with their company on an international level is mind-boggling. And for me now to, you know, hopefully be in a position where I have my own line and I'm a owner and partner of my company, if I can just do a quarter of what those guys have done in a global scale, I'd be very happy.
Well, I think there's like a split. There's like MHP, and then there's Muscle Meds, and
I
think there's another line that Gerard works with. But it's kind of cool how they have the multi-layers and the different branches and the different products, and these bodybuilders are actually able to, you know, finance their careers and yet support the supplement industry as well.
You know, talking to Rich and also talking to Gerard, it's very interesting that being that they were previous competitors, they know what it's like, and I think that's the reason why they take such good care of their guys, you know, especially with Gerard taking great care of Victor and also Kai Green, because they know what it's like. Gerard, I competed against him for years as an amateur, so, you know, him being there, he knows what it takes to actually be able to compete and to focus yourself on just your craft and not having to worry about, the means of being able to make a living. So, it's mind-boggling how well he's done. I actually complimented him before that I was just really blown back with how he's been able to recreate himself and be so successful in his industry.
Well, in this economy, is it kind of scary, you know, being a guru owner of a supplement industry when they're being looked at under the microscope? Let's find out how important it is not only to create great products, but also to try to stay in line with mainstream, because you know so many things are getting banned by the FDA and classified as steroids when they're not. Let's find out from Gerard himself. Gerard Dente, are you on the line?
Hey, how's it going, Sean?
Hey, not too bad. You're on with the fabulous Flex Wheeler.
Hey, Gerard.
Hey, what's up, Flex?
Good. Hey, you know what? I know you're not expecting this, and you know I see you said I didn't have to, but before we start this interview with you, I just want to tell you, you know, very much apologize. I want to do that on record and publicly. For having some misinformation and posting that before I had all of the information in hand. So if I offended you or any of your employees or anything like that, please give them my greatest apology. I know we go way back as friends, so definitely I wanted to do that, even though you didn't want me to, but I felt it was necessary that I make my apology public, just like I made that statement online publicly. I felt it was necessary for me to do the same.
Well, I appreciate that, Flex. And like you said, you and I go way back and been friends for, I don't know, it's got to be already pushing,
well, you guys are dinosaurs, man.
20 years, man. 20 years.
I'm going to break up this love fest real briefly and take a commercial break, but Gerard, when we come back, we want to talk about that fine line a supplement company owner has to walk in this economy in terms of coming out with great products that are effective and that work, and then the FDA and some of these other sports and the regulations that these guys are under, the, you know, under the microscope in terms of what they can take, what's a supplement, and what's not a supplement. But we're going to have you answer a couple of those questions right after we take this commercial break here at MD Radio with Gerard Dente from MHP.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
For mind-blowing energy coupled with muscle-building nutrients and essential amino acids, NO Shotgun, the world's most effective pre-workout supplement, will help you pack on slabs of lean muscle tissue faster than a speeding bullet. In a recent university study, NO Shotgun was discovered and compared to placebo to produce 181% greater lean body mass and over 1,000% increase in bench press strength. NO Shotgun is the first supplement proven to elevate muscle gene factors needed for growth. Also, VPX offers the best workout supplement, the superlative NO Synthesize. Scientifically formulated to further drive your muscles' anabolic processes after you are done training. NO Synthesize takes nutrient timing to another level. For more information, go to VPXSports.com. That's VPXSports.com.
Muscle Mats introduces the biggest breakthrough ever in nitric oxide, Enoxide. This newly discovered super molecule delivers fast, potent elevations of real nitric oxide directly into your bloodstream. Enoxide is not a mere precursor like AAKG or arginine. It's real, pure nitric oxide, 2,000 times more potent than any nitric oxide precursor. Enoxide, real science, real nitric oxide, real results. Enoxide is so powerful that your arms will swell as this super molecule triggers the most insane muscle pumps you've ever experienced. Purchase your mind-blowing fiber-tearing Enoxide pump at GNC or at www.enoxide.com. That's www.enoxide.com.
Anyone who understands the supplement market knows that fat burners as a class of products are virtually dead. Why? Because none of these products have delivered the kind of real results people have been looking for. I'm not kidding when I tell you, that's all over now. Because Mitotropin is so powerful and so profoundly different than anything else on the market, we couldn't even call it a fat burner for fear it would be associated with this useless category. That's how good it is. Welcome to the world of Mitotropin.
You're listening to MD Radio with Sean and Flex. You want to get in on the action? Call Team MD now at 1-866-472-5788. Now back to MD Radio with Sean Ray and Flex Wheeler.
I'm the truth and these other boys phony. It's a movie.
Hey, it's Flex Wheeler and Sean Ray here with MuscleDevelopment.com, MD Radio. And we have our very special guest, owner and CEO, everything else. I mean, I think he's a janitor too. Gerard Dente, are you still with us?
Still here, guys.
Now, listen, bro, what years, I mean, didn't we compete in the USA a couple of times? I know it's some other local shows. And at that time, when we were competing as amateurs, Did you ever have in the back of your mind that this is something that you want to do, a mogul in the business of the supplements?
You know, it's kind of weird. I mean, at the time, you know, I never really, you know, thought of owning my own supplement brand. But, however, I was always very intrigued by the supplement industry. And, you know, at that time, I was under contract with Twin Lab, which back then, if you remember, they were one of the top brands at the time.
Definitely.
And, you know, I remember, you know, the first time I stopped by their facility, and that's when it was owned by the Bleckman family. And, you know, I was very impressed by their facility, which was one of the, you know, state-of-the-art ones in the country at the time. And, you know, just the, you know, the amount of, you know, of, you know, regulatory controls and, you know, how, you know, and basically what went, how involved it was, you know, from, you know, as a bodybuilder, you know, we were getting these products in a tub and that's all we thought of them. But to realize, you know, how much went into the development, you know, how when the product comes in, each ingredient was assayed and then, you know, everything's got to get measured and weighed out exactly, and then, you know, and then blended, and then, you know, the whole, you know, looking at the whole manufacturing assembly line. So quite honestly, when I, you know, when I toured their plant in 1994, you know, that was one thing that really kind of started having me think that, wow, this industry is pretty cool.
Well, is it really cool? Because now it seems like you kind of have to micromanage and walk a thin line in terms of what you want to bring out, how effective, how powerful. You're having to work under much stricter guidelines, and it just seems like there's like a snoop fest. Every time I turn around, there's somebody, you know, bodybuilding.com getting raided. I mean, we're talking about supplements here.
Yeah, well, you know, the unfortunate thing is that, you know, you got Big Brother, you know, looking over, you know, your shoulder, which in, I should say it's unfortunate, because in a way it's good, because, you know, there's always a fine line between, you know, what our industry can do, and it's been done, where some companies do, or most of the companies are putting great products, you know, on the market that are safe and effective. The unfortunate thing is you do get a few companies out there that try and sneak under the radar and kind of ruin it for everybody by putting things in the products that, you know, that aren't supposed to be, you know, in the products. I mean, there was a lot to be said, and a lot of great molecules, you know, that have been, you know, manufactured and formulated, which are safe and effective. But unfortunately, you know, we have to now go under these, you know, these tighter guidelines that kind of limit, you know, what we can do, and, you know, based on the whole, you know, dechet and, you know, what's considered a new dietary ingredient, and, you know, what was already used, you know, prior to dechet, versus anything new. You know, to get a new ingredient approved, you know, it's an expensive and a timely task. So,
right.
It does limit, you know, what we can do going forward. But I guess it just forces us all to try and continue to be even more innovative, you know?
Right. Gerard, you have, is it two or three companies now? I know you have MuscleMed, and I know you have MSP. Is there another company also that you have under your umbrella?
Yeah, we also have a brand called Zero Limits that's doing very well for us. And that's a brand where we really carve out something that's, you know, appealing to really the real super hardcore, you know?
Right.
You know, it's basically, I don't know why I keep coming out with these brands, because I'm basically running on about 2 hours of sleep right now.
But
you know what it is? I really enjoy the product development side. And, you know, there's a lot, you know, what happens is, you know, within certain categories, you know, you come up with ideas that may be novel and may bring new technologies. But you don't want to, you know, create or make, you know, your other great existing products, you know, obsolete. So, you know, what I found, it's, you know, it's been a way for me to be able to appeal to different types of consumers and also launch new technologies, you know, for that new type of consumer base.
Beautiful. Listen, bro, again, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. Thank you for being bigger than I was, for accepting my apology and letting our friendship still last, bro. Looking to get to know you another 20 years and continued success with your businesses.
I appreciate that, guys.
All right, Gerard Dinte from MHP and Muscle Meds, one of our online sponsors here at MuscularDevelopment.com. Flex, without guys like him, we wouldn't be able to do what we do, and some of these bodybuilders couldn't do what they do.
No, definitely. Again, I think it's so much more important that he's a previous competitor because he knows what it takes to be able to make the hold will exist. And you know, one can't lean on the other. It's like a table of four, a table with four legs on it. If it's not for the magazines, not for the supplement companies, the sponsors, and then the producers put on a show, none of us would survive and have a job. So I think it's very important that we all work very closely and keep each other happy so we can keep this sport that gave me and you everything that we have today.
Yep, and out with the old, in with the new. Let's bring them on. 2007 NPC National Overall Champion and 2009 New York Pro Champion, Evan Sintapani. Evan, are you on?
Hey, what's going on, Sean? What's up, Flex?
What's going on, Mr. Dinosaur? How much you weighing right now, man? I know you get up to what? You've been well over 300 pounds, right?
I have been. Last year I got up around close to 320, but, man, that was way too heavy.
You know, Evan, we used to say you were young, but man, 2007 is already 2 years ago. You've already won a pro contest. You remind me a lot of Dorian Yates. This guy came out of nowhere, wins a contest, disappears for a year, comes out, wins another show. What's next for Evan? Where are we going to see you again on a bodybuilding stage?
Well, I don't know. I haven't entirely made up my mind yet.
Make it up.
That's a question I've been getting a lot of lately.
You haven't had enough time to make up your mind?
Well, the way I've been trying to think about it is, bodybuilding is my first passion. I have a sincere love for the sport. I love training. I love the dieting. I love the entire process. Competition itself, it's cool. It's definitely not what I love the most about bodybuilding, but it'll always come secondary. That being said, I feel that I just need to spend a good amount of time training, eating, and just, making improvements. And when it's time to compete, I'll know.
Well, were you motivated by what you saw at the Olympia? We saw you milling around the expo, walking around, like Flex said, looking like a T-Rex, a big dinosaur. did that not light a match to say, like, you know what, maybe this Arnold Classic is something I need to jump into because I'm chomping at the bit here?
I've never felt like that for any show, really, that I needed to jump right into it. People, not that I caught criticism after the Olympia, but a lot of people saying, man, why didn't you compete? You could have made top 10, or you could have done this, or you could have done that. And, while... I look at that Olympia stage, and I can appreciate the fact that everyone on that stage is incredible.
Right.
So to simply be able to place top 10 is nothing short of spectacular, but I wouldn't feel that I'm ready. And, same thing for the Arnold. I just don't know that I'm ready. Not necessarily physically. I think I could go and, possibly fare well, but... I would like to think I'm in this for more than that. I don't want people to get me wrong that it has to be about winning, because that's not what I'm saying at all. I would much rather know that the next time I step on stage, I'm going to be significantly improved from my prior showing, regardless of what the placing may be. If I can do that, then I'm happy.
Well, Evan, it's been some time since you competed before. The Olympia's over, and we're going into a new year, and there's a lot of hot shows that you actually could really fare well. Based on the size and how much training you put on, and given the time that you have off, tentatively, what are you looking at? Are you looking like the beginning of this year, the mid of the year, or towards the end of the year? And second part of this question is your goal to try to qualify and be able to make the Olympia stage 2010?
I think 2010 would be, I know you guys are going to give me a hard time, but I think
you're
it would
pro
be
now, bro.
I mean, honestly, I would like to come in, I don't know, maybe the end of 2010 and do a show, and then go into 2011 strong and compete, three, four shows. I'm not against competing often. Right. I know a lot of people say, how come today's the pros today don't compete more often? And I'm definitely not against that. I think that's great. But I know that I need to make some fundamental improvements in my physique. And to do that, I don't know that competing often would be conducive to that.
Smart. Well, That's the thing about being a bigger bodybuilder. You need that time. How old are you now?
I'm 27.
Yeah, we forget. Guys, just, you know, you weren't even a pro at 27, were you?
I think I was a pro.
Right around in that range, but I mean, everybody got a
right
big
standards. Yeah.
Yeah, you do got time on your side. I'll give you that. It seems like the next generation of guys, yourself, Dennis Wolf, Phil Heath, very young, and we just had Seth Ferrosi on the line. Take your time and do it according to your timeline, because sometimes you jump too soon to please somebody else, and then you wind up not happy.
Right. You know, I really like to stay true to why I started bodybuilding. I didn't begin bodybuilding to win competitions or to, you know, collect trophies or anything like that. It's more just because I love the training. I love the whole process. And that's something I'd like to, you know, I know at this point it's become my career and it is business, but I would like to stay true to that because I think I've had a lot of success with that mentality.
You're working with Ultimate Nutrition?
Universal
Nutrition, right? And, you know, they are bringing the Europa show out there to your hometown of Connecticut.
Yes. That is something I thought about, too. People say, you know, why don't you do the Europa? That's going to be in Connecticut. And at first I said, I don't know, but then that could be. That's cool, you know.
Well, promoter Ed Parizo will be putting that competition on. He also puts on the one in Dallas. This one will take place July 23rd and 25th in Hartford, Connecticut. There will also be a 202 Men's Bodybuilding Championships, Women Bodybuilding Championships, figure and bikini. So hopefully if you're not in it, at least we'll see you there in July.
Oh, if I'm not in, I will definitely be there.
Right on. Evan Sinopani, your national champion, 2009 New York Pro Champion. We'll see what 2010 has in store for him. We'll take our final commercial break here at MD Radio. We'll come right back, and we're going to talk about posing on the pro scene, as this round will not be counted for, Flex, come 2010. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
Stimulating talk gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Shop the new MD Supplement Superstore, where you can find more of your favorite brands and products, upgraded customer service, and engaging cutting-edge research, along with the industry's most competitive prices.
Focus, strength, recovery, results. Introducing Maximize, brought to you by iForce Nutrition. Tired of the same old caffeine buzz? Are you ready to step into a new world of power, energy, and intensity? Maximize has set a new standard in the supplement world, delivering tunnel vision focus, cell swelling volumization, and unstoppable endurance. Don't settle for the current crop of underclothes products. It's time to join the next generation with Maximize, the only pre-workout supplement you need for extreme gains in strength and performance. Don't just train. Maximize your workouts. Visit www.iforcenutrition.com for details.
The biggest rage in bodybuilding is Dark Rage. Dark Rage sets a new standard in pre-workout supplementation and muscle pumps with its advanced new EPO blood doping technology. Dark Rage's mind-altering activators put you in a state of temporary rage and fury, allowing you to take your training intensity to a new level of insanity. From your very first rep, Dark Rage's EPO blood doping technology forces more blood through your garden hose veins as a surge of raw power is triggered by Dark Rage's advanced anabolic agents, allowing you to train heavier, harder, and longer so you can grow bigger and stronger. Dark Rage is the biggest rage in bodybuilding. Feel the rage at www.getmhp.com.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to MD Radio with Sean and Flex. You want to get in on the action? Call Team MD now at 1-866-472-5788. Now back to MD Radio with Sean Ray and Flex Wheeler.
I'm the truth and these other. All right, it's Flex Wheeler back with Sean Ray, and our special guest is posing extraordinaire. I guess this guy is one of the guys who's noted for putting posing on a map. I know he was very influential with Sean Ray, myself also. And Melvin Anthony, we have the special one. You have some crazy nicknames going on, John Brown. What are some of those nicknames?
I don't have any nicknames that I know of.
John Juan Brown.
I'm the master. I'm the king. I'm the creator of all the imitators.
Let me ask you a question before I turn it over to Mike, over to Sean. Weren't you known for, in your guest posing, come out in a robe and handing out roses to women in the audience?
Yes, absolutely.
You were that guy, weren't you?
Absolutely.
He still wears that robe, Flex. That's what's funny.
Yeah,
he's
right.
Married with three kids.
Kind of fits him different, though, now.
Yeah, right.
He's married with three kids, and he still wears that robe around the house. John, you got started in the 70s back, influenced heavily by Serge Nubre. Bring us up to speed with how you came to this sport, because it was different back then.
Well, make a long story short, since you gave me the 9 minute segment, which I'm not going to have. You know, playing football in high school, working out, all of a sudden, someone in the park discovered me and said that he thought I should try bodybuilding. One thing led to another. He got in touch with my dad. I was on a stage. I think I came in third place, and he goes, see, you could have won if you'd have been, you know, serious about your training, if you knew more about doing it. So I thought, all right, well, I was playing football at the time. I thought, we're losing every game, so I don't think I'm going to go play. So I decided to switch.
John, was that almost like a carbon copy of how I ran into you? I was playing football in high school. I was playing football in high school. I joined the gym. You came over to me and said, hey, man, what are you training for? Next thing you know, 5 months later, I'm competing in a damn bodybuilding show. It was almost exactly.
It's a little different than that, as I remember. You kept staring at me.
I was staring at you.
It was in the eyes, Sean. It was in the eyes.
Oh, wow. Sean was staring you in the eyes?
I thought he was freaking a Martian. I never seen anything so big and so ugly in my life.
Oh, wow.
He had to be too strong.
Sean, back at your heaviest, what weight did you walk around? What was your off-season weight, and how tall are you?
I'm 6'2", and I'm a little different type body, but off-season I lost weight. Off-season I would go down to like 228. 230.
Okay.
Then I would go up to like 204. At my highest, I was at 245 on stage. So I would go. I never went up past 250.
Okay. Yeah.
Wow.
I would gain weight because you're 6'2", and you had
6'2".
One of the few early like X frames. I remember guys like yourself, Marlon Darden. I mean, you guys were some big, like real dinosaurs in this industry, because the guys I was looking at was Tom Platz, Samir Banu, and Chris Dickerson. These were midgets by comparison to yourself. You're a two-time universe champion, three-time world champion, competed over in Naba Waba. And Serge Nubre at some point either took you under your wing or you got involved with him. How was that playing a role in your bodybuilding?
Well, you know, Serge was my idol, and I just was lucky enough to get a call from him one morning and invited me to compete in the Mr. World contest. And I thought, wow, I don't know if I'm ready to do that. But he said, of course you are. So I did it, and, you know, I won the first contest and the second and the third. So it was all history after that. So Serge Nubre was, like, you know, really a big influence on me. He was like my mentor kind of dude.
Let's stay on Serge for a second, because right now the boards have lit up in bodybuilding. Apparently, he went into the hospital and became medicated, and there were some rumors about family members, sons or daughters, kind of keeping him medicated, and they wouldn't let him out of a hospital, and there was some land and some money involved. What did you last hear about Serge Nubre? Because we've got...
Serge is like, almost like, I can't even talk about that dude. It breaks my heart. I mean, I heard all the same things you just mentioned. I don't know what really happened, you know. I mean, this hearsay, so I don't like to really comment on it because it's not intelligent, and I'm just guesstimating. I mean, someone told me what you just said, and I don't know if that's the case or not, but, you know, it's just an unfortunate thing, and the situation he's in is really bad, you know. I mean, he's a great guy, you know.
Well, you know, I want to ask you, a very interesting thing is about to happen. 2010, they will no longer be judging the posing round. For a person like yourself who is extraordinary as a poser, how do you feel about that, and how do you think it's going to affect bodybuilding?
Wow, I'm actually shocked to hear that. Why are they doing it? What is the reason?
Well, apparently it doesn't count for anything. The guys that win the contest always win the posing round, when clearly they're not the best poser. So I'm actually in favor of it. But I do wish there is some compensation for these guys to at least choreograph a routine or have something to shoot for. But just throughout the years, I think Ronnie Coleman never lost the posing round in all of his 8 years of winning
the posing round. I think it's a mistake. As I recall, when I was competing, let me just take you back.
in early 80s, late 80s, if you did like a seminar in Europe or something like that, there'd be like 1,000 to 2,000 people just to hear you talk, for an example. Bodybuilding contests. I've been to shows where there was like 10,000 people to come watch me do a guest posing, for an example. And I noticed through the years it declined, right? Now, I don't know exactly what's to blame, but I can tell you this here. Today, and I saw it coming, you know, even towards the 80, end of 80s, it's not bodybuilding anymore. I don't know why they call it bodybuilding. It's muscle building. When I was competing, you know, guys wanted to look like Superman. If you look at comic books or Iron Man, not the Hulk. He wasn't aesthetic. Now, if you don't have the posing round, here's the problem. You know, the posing round is important to present your physique. You know, you got a muscularity round. When I was competing, they had a muscularity round, symmetry round, vascularity round, and posing round. Now, if you drop posing, that's a problem, I think. But I do understand why they may want to drop it, because a lot of guys who are dancing on the stage now, and they're not really posing. And I started that whole deal, so I can tell you why I started it. These guys are doing it because they're just copying me. But the reason I did it, because I discovered that if I danced on stage, the audience really enjoyed it. But my problem was that the judges didn't really like it. You got to remember, this is before anyone ever thought about doing that. So I said, okay, here's what I'll do. I'm going to dedicate the first, let's say, 60 seconds or 90 seconds to the judges, which meant I would pose to whatever given song I wanted to do to present my physique. After that, another song would come on, or several mixtures of songs, and I would do a dance routine for the audience. Because at the end of the day, it is a form of entertainment. Like if a guy slam dunks in the NBA, people want to see the slam dunk. There was a time where they didn't want you to slam dunk anymore. So I think the posing round is really important to show your physique, but I think they should perhaps look at, I don't know, during prejudging, say that you can't dance. But then that leads to another problem. Well, who's going to be the person who says which movement is considered dancing and not?
Right.
Not
well, real quick, with 1 minute, tell me about the music.
Wait, say 1 minute?
Well, yeah, we're going to wrap it up. But tell me about the music, John. I mean, how important is it to have that as an individual, you know, freedom?
What is that?
The music. Some of these guys are complaining about rap music or hard metal, heavy metal. I mean,
you can't complain about that. If it's profanity, you don't want that.
Right.
But in terms of rap music, if someone says that's completely a racial statement, that's racist. No, bar none.
It's freedom of expression, isn't it?
Beg your pardon?
It's freedom of expression, right?
Yeah. Art is art. You can't say Salvador Dali, you know, you can't paint that, but you have to paint like Picasso. It's a self-expression. It's art. It's artistry. You can't mess with the art. But,
which I want to tell you, John, I definitely agree with you. I don't think they should take the posing round off. I never knew that that's the way you kind of outline your posing. You know, I wasn't a historian, more so like Sean. I was, back in the Central California. But that's the way I put my posing routine together also. I put it together where, you know, I would have a certain amount of time where I can display my physique.
Right.
And then I'll leave about 15 to 20 seconds where I wanted to just, you know, give the crowd that wow factor, because I wanted to leave them on an up, you know. So I think it's going to be a great loss if they don't do that, because another thing that I think me and Sean do agree on is I think guys are going to get more lazy about having to present themselves.
Yes.
Well, real quick, John, we want to thank you for coming on MD Radio and offering words of wisdom. The one and only Mr. Universe.
You make sure you don't give me 9 minutes next time. Give me a break.
Yeah, we'll get you back on here, man. Your insights are invaluable to our young listeners.
Definitely.
All right, that's two-time Universe World Champion, John Brown, going his retirement
take care, you guys.
Fatherhood.
John.
All right, well, that's going to bring us to a close of this episode 35 MD Radio. With thanks to all of our guests, Iris Kyle, Gerard Dinty, Seth Ferrosi, John Brown, and Evan Sinopani. We'll catch up with you guys in a week from now. Flex Wheeler, Sean Ray.
Audi 5000.
Gee!
You've been listening to MD Radio, a look at the world of bodybuilding and health and fitness. Join Sean and Flex again next Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern on Voice America.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.